that's his cue to come up. Oh yeah, it's me. I thought, well, it's really great to be here with the people of Happy, which you expect that from the guest speaker, not the guy that's walked in the back door the last 50 years. But all the same, this is kind of an interesting way to begin. And it is good that we have a chance like this to come up. And it does challenge yourself, apparently, for those that decide to do such thing, to make these talks, as it would be. Question tonight, which is weird in itself, go from that to, have you ever been in a place you absolutely positively don't want to be? And with that being said, I really want to be here. This is not, we're not just putting that. Although we and Jessica were talking this afternoon, we hearkened back to a time when I was a wee lad way back in the beginning, and we had a group of young men, and it was some sort of twisted mentality to make these young men get up and give talks. And when you're a wee lad, it is horrifying, terrifying that you will, what they will do to you if you speak in public. But anyway, but I use that to back that up too, but without that, this wouldn't happen. To put yourself in a place and to expand yourself, that's not easy. And I realize that's not for everybody, but I'll bark that back. I digress. Anyway, back to the question about being somewhere you absolutely don't want to be before. And I'm not necessarily talking about a wrong turn. I've made plenty of wrong turns, both mechanically and otherwise, but to be in a place that you don't want to be. Let's go to First Philippians, if there's more than one Philippians. Philippians 1, how about that? And, of course, very familiar here. Paul's talking about his journey and things coming on. But Philippians, starting in 21. For to me to live is in Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in this body, will this mean fruitful ever for me? Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and will continue with all that you for your progress and joy and faith. And this is kind of where I'm headed tonight, about understanding to be in a place you don't want to be, and using that experience, I almost dare use the word opportunity, because what I want to do now is I want to share three different occasions, and all I know is my own personal experiences, so you'll get to bear with some more what I did once upon a time. But again, talking about where we are and what it made us who we are. We'll go with that too. First one of three, in the summer high school, again, summer days high school, Don Kimball and Lloyd Levitt, they had some combines together, so they would do some custom harvesting after they would do their own and move on. I had the opportunity, so I would help them at times. I could almost stop the story there and tell you John Deere 105. If you knew that, I could quit the conversation and you would understand where I'm going with this, but I'm going to see some blank faces that John Deere 105 does not mean. Mike knows. But John Deere 105 was a good machine back in 1974, maybe 75, and this was 1990s. So it had some years on it at that time too. Lloyd and Don, they had some other equipment too, some better, newer equipment with all the niceties, a cab with glass, a cab with an air conditioner, a cab that kept the elements from coming to where you are. John Deere 105 was not so much that. And there was one day, one field in particular, that we were making our rounds, and I was on this because the good machines weren't so good. They did not do the job. They had to be worked on. So I'm on this other combine, making a torrent, and I turn and I've come back in and I'm going with the wind. And this is early June. This is 100 plus degrees. This is not a pleasant experience that I'm experiencing now. You couldn't see out the cab because of the wheat shaft, the dust, the heat, everything that was with you. All I could do is keep from jumping off said combine and leaving machine and let it go about its way. A miserable, miserable experience, if you will. It was in a place that I asked to be. I was being paid for this job, and the job had to be done. There were a certain way you couldn't always go against the wind, that sometimes you have to come back. For therefore, is a job that had to be done. A next experience, and I think I've told this story before too, but another time I volunteered for a service. I volunteered for this man's United States Army. And with that, I agreed to do everything that this man's United States Army would train them to do. And one experience that really stands out is the nuclear biological chemical training, otherwise known as the gas chamber. So this is a time when the U.S. Army expects you to learn what they call a protective mask, as we known as a gas mask. So the whole day was used on training, with the highlight of the day putting you in a small building, half the size, quarter size of the auditorium, and lighting a canister of CS gas, tear gas, if you would. So we got to don our mask and walk into said building while this tear gas is just fuming. This is Jessica and Max's tortilla cooking kind of. we had a discussion about that too. But anyway, but this is it. So the process of this, as we gathered up, there was two dozen of us, whatever it was in there, and we're all facing each other. We have our mask on, so everything is okay. You can feel the tingle on the back of your neck. You can feel the tingle on your bare skin being, but that's not a problem because you're okay. The fun begins when they instruct you to everybody take off your masks and put them away. And everybody has to do this. Get this mask off, put away. Then you can all exit the building. Inevitably, there is one soldier that cannot get his mask put away quick enough. So we are in there. We are suffering in this room of tear gas. I almost wish I could give you this experience because I can't tell you what it feels like to be gassed until you have been gassed. But again, and then we bust out the doors, and then the commencing, it's just amazing what your body does with this tear gas, which you understand when you see videos of the riots and the crowds and the tear gas. You want to be anywhere but where that gas is. The breathing, the running, I think about this. Not a pleasant place to be. This is definitely a place I did not want to be at this time anyway, anyhow. Again, backing up, this was, and understand what the Army is not necessarily sadistic in a matter that they want to gas all their soldiers. They want to teach their soldiers to trust in their equipment. There will be, should it be that bad, you will need that equipment to save your life, to perform a mission, to carry on with what needs to be done. So you need to go through this process, whether mentally or physically, and be able to use the equipment to save your life somewhere down the line. But again, a time that I was totally volunteered, I said I'd do this, and I went through this. Again, and one of those lessons that I'm truly glad I did, and I will never do it again in a million years because of the experience that I don't want to be there. The last one is a little more another cringeworthy story. It was December a year ago, so we're talking 14, 15 months ago. I was changing a battery in my truck, and it slipped. And as it slips, it falls. And truck batteries are quite large, quite heavy. And there's one angle iron bar. And as it slipped, it took me and my finger and commenced to smashing it between said bar and said battery. And again, I could quit the story there. For anybody that has smashed your finger that bad, that severe, you don't need any more stories. Anyway, that story continued on. That night, I was having to still have to work. And as you smash your finger, it tends to swell, which that's what the body does. It tries to help itself. But there is nowhere for the pressure to go. So those, again, you know this story. You take a hot needle, you put it through your fingernail to release the pressure. And again, this was a simple mistake. Again, I did not want to smash my finger. That was not my goal that day when I set out when I replaced the batteries. But at the same time, I had to deal with my mistake. This is what I had to do. And again, you put yourself in that same position. You know what you've done. For some that may have put your finger through a lawnmower, you may know. Does that ever happen to anybody? We know. But the idea of mistakes, some mistakes that we have, simple mistakes, and places that we put ourselves into, we have to deal with the aftermath. You cannot get out of what you have got yourself into. And with all those stories in mind, and the next question I is, what is perseverance? Is it? And Paul, well, we'll talk about that in a minute too, about what Paul talks about perseverance, and the perseverance is that is a necessity to continue on our goal to be better Christians. But to these stories and these mistakes and these places that I have put myself in, I ask myself, is perseverance something that you can't quit? All these things I couldn't just... Well, you could quit because you still had to finish each and every one of these positions. You've got yourself in it. Now you're going to have to persevere to either deal with the mistakes you've done, to finish the job, to do what is being instructed of you. That is the perseverance talking about, and that's the perseverance that Paul talks about. And I put that, is it really perseverance if you can't quit? We'll let the philosophers talk about that. And that idea about perseverance, I'm the kind of person that I've been out in hours and days in extreme cold or extreme heat. I've been out in the dust. I've been out in knee-deep mud. I will still get a job done when it needs to be done because there are consequences for not getting the job done. But I'm also the guy that will work a jigsaw puzzle and come down to the sky and no. And I've been known to throw said jigsaw puzzle away because I don't want to deal with the sky and the black and the puzzles that look exactly like each other. Again, so what is perseverance? Perseverance is a necessity to finish the job, which we'll talk about here later when Paul talks about. But the importance and the effects, is it that important to finish? Is it something that we can continue on? And is there a way out? I'm not sure what the idea about a jigsaw puzzle throwing away is, but at the point, I do not want to have that in my life. So I omitted it from my life, too. And another thing we talk about in the places we'll be, we all know about getting older, and the body does things, and you have to wrestle with it, and we understand that, too. The question about, well, why am I still here from those in that stage of life, too? And I don't stand here and even pretend to understand what God's plan is and what God's will is for us. But understand, though, as we are here, we still have our part to do as Christians, as to persevere with that sense, to get that goal that we ultimately achieved. With that, over in James, again, another some very, very familiar verses. James, first chapter. Starting in verse 2. Of course, he's talking about the trials and temptations, and James is writing here again. Starting in 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and he will be given to you. This is that perseverance. I went back to the story, might have got inverted there, but to understand there are things that are important in life. There are goals. There are families to feed. There are bills to pay. There are things that we have to finish, whether we want to be there or not. Our scriptural life, our spiritual life, how important it is to stay in that perseverance and understanding that what we have to do in order to finish what we have. I did that and I flipped over. Don't have to, but back in back to Philippians 1 in verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth and insight, so that you may be able to discern what is the best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. I'll tie this to the core. What is perseverance? And always perseverance is what's important. What are the things that you have to do to achieve your end goal? These three experiences of life, in the beginning, I asked for each and every one. I was in that job. I asked for that job. Two, I joined that organization. And three, that was my job to do mechanical duties on my job to prepare things. So all three of those jobs I had asked for. The outcome and the position I was in, I did not want, and I wanted to be out of. But that is the perseverance, understanding what it is that we're striving for. And again, I liken that to our spiritual lives, the goals that we have to achieve. Again, something we've talked about in class quite a bit the last few days, too. A whole lot like, and I really didn't, Rick and I didn't plan this, talking about your habits this morning and understanding what habits start small and habits become large. The things that we need to tend to early or tend to as they come, I there's available, but to understand what they're leading to. Sometimes you might not even know it's a bad habit until it's a bad habit. You might not know that you might not find yourself in these positions until, I dare say, it's too late. I want to go back to this Army story, too, because they did not tell me about this when I enlisted in said man's Army. They did not. And there's a reason they don't tell you everything before you join in this organization, because there are things that are going to be difficult along the way, and they need to know that you can and will and are able to meet these things as they come available. Though there are things that you're going to change along your way. But just like the bad habits, we make not... We run from these places. I made that word. I keep saying these places we put ourselves into, but there's a lot more. It's just like the habit. There are the people that we're around. I understand work and places like that. You don't necessarily get to pick the people you're around, but you do get to choose the language that you use around said people. You get to choose the stuff that you put inside your head. These are the places that you put yourself into, but that you can have and do have the ability to change the outcome to said events. And then these all come down to the choices and then we make throughout our entire lives. And these choices and this perseverance can be both the good and the bad. And again, talking about James talks about that perseverance. And this is what we are here for with Christ, to persevere to the end, to know what the goal is that we strive for. I don't pretend to know God's plans, God's working here for us. Again, when I say that, I mean our situations in life, our health, our loved ones' health, those around us that we choose, we don't necessarily want to know the end because we're striving to be better people, to be that, to make that choice, to want to be part of God's creation and God's choices in that. And whether or not we just have to spend the time and make that decision in order to make a better person for us. In closing, and back to the First Thessalonians, there is a First Thessalonians, obviously. Paul's writing here to the church in Thessalonia, and he's in First Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 12, his final instructions about, as he's closing out the letter, and these are the things that he wants these people at this time, this church, to know as he essentially signs off his letter. We'll go ahead and read it. Read there. Anyway, starting in 1 Thessalonians 5 and chapter 12. Now we ask you, brother, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you and in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regards in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid. Help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. You know, we talk about those places and things. Sometimes it's hard to read this and then think about some of the stories, experience we have. But in verse 16, be joyful always. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecy with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through all and through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. I like to read and finish lessons because let the words of Christ do the talking too. I've laid out some examples of places I don't want to be, and that's kind of the point, and I'll leave the lesson with you. We don't always get to choose the circumstances of wonder. We'll a lot often be in places we don't want to be. But whether it be a physical, actual place that we've been into or a spiritual place that maybe we do, we talk about the way, we tend to come in, we tend to drift away. As long as we draw breath, though, we have the ability to come back to Christ with that. And no matter at the position or the place that we're in, He gives us that blessing with that, too. So, again, I'll leave the lesson with you. And I thank you so much for being that. Come for the services, stay for the fajitas, as you will. But with that being said, we do offer the invitation if there's any need of anybody in the congregation to come as we stand and as we sing.